Guardian Unlimited.
Hello and welcome to the Guardian Science Podcast Extra. I'm Alok Jha. This is the full interview with Steve Jones, a biologist at University College London, who is leading the scientists' fight back against the intelligent design, the belief that the universe is so complicated that some supernatural agent must have created it. He addressed members of the public recently with his thoughts on the issue. The title of his lecture was Why Intelligent Design is Stupid. I asked him to give me a preview of his talk.
Well, the most dangerous aspect of intelligent design is that it's fundamentally stupid. And it's fundamentally turning to irrationality rather than rationality as a way of understanding the world. I once saw a bumper sticker in the States which said, if you think knowledge is expensive, try ignorance. And these people want us to try ignorance, and we all know where that leads.
Your talk tomorrow, the title is just simply Why Intelligent Design is Stupid. I mean, what's your sort of main answer to that?
I think intelligent design is stupid because it's an argument. It's worth remembering what, you know, Charles Darwin, our hero, I'll actually be talking from his bunker because the lecture theatre at UCL is on the site of his house. And I've often said I'm talking from Charles Darwin's bunker, literally, but now I'm doing it metaphorically. We're having to fight off this great wave of ignorance which is washing across the Atlantic. There was a BBC Horizon poll in January which suggested that 30% of British sixth formers believe in some form of creationism stroke intelligent design. They're the same thing, of course. And I find that really quite alarming. Darwin, before he wrote The Origin of Species, spent 8 years on a terminally obscure subject, which was the biology of barnacles, the things that live on bottoms of boats. Okay. And he wrote 4 unbelievably boring books about barnacles. And the reason he did that was he wanted to understand the way in which one particular group of organisms worked, what the species looked like, the way perhaps they were related to each other. And as he was working on that totally tedious subject, this great truth began to dawn on him, that there was a pattern, that they were related to each other, that they showed similarities and dissimilarities, and indeed you could probably, certainly, trace them back to a common shared ancestor. And that was evolution. That took 8 years of hard work. Intelligent design just throws that out of the window. It's the argument from incuriosity, from idleness, and from ignorance. Incuriosity because you look at something which is terribly complicated, and life is complicated, don't take it from me. Biology is very, very complicated. And you say, oh, I don't really need to work on this because it's so complicated I'll never understand it, even though I'm clever. So you don't have to do any work. All you have to do is to look at this biochemical pathway, let's say. Say, God, blimey, mate, that's complicated. God must have done it. And that's the end of the story. It's kind of deeply frustrating and empty.
But the people who came up with intelligent design and sort of tried to dissociate themselves, in a sense, from creationism by saying that their ideas are scientifically based. I mean, is that just not true?
No, their ideas are anti-science. They aren't science. The whole point of science, all science, is that you're constantly trying to disprove a theory. Okay, if I could disprove the theory of evolution, contrary to what these guys say, I'd be absolutely delighted. I'd be famous. I'd get a Nobel Prize, probably. But, of course, I can't because it's true. These people are exactly opposed to that logic. They know what's true. What they believe can't be disproved because it's written in a big book. It's not science at all. It's antithetical to science. What it is creationism of a special kind. And it was invented in a very cunning move to try to get religion into American schools. And there are many things, I'm sure, that one can criticize the modern United States about. Modern Britain, ditto. But one of its great strengths is that the States has always separated religion and education. And it's been the attempts by creationists to teach biblical creationism in schools has been defeated again and again and again, as most people know. The latest little trick they've come up with is this intelligent design, which presents itself as an alternative hypothesis, another kind of science. It ain't. It's failed. It failed in Kansas. And the judge who struck it down, saying this is just creationism wearing different clothes, he called it an idea of breathtaking inanity. I agree with him, and I'm really proud that his name was Judge Jones.
One of the things that's in the proponents of intelligent design, one of their arguments seems to be that if evolution is the best way to explain how the world was is made up, then where are the sort of fossils with half-developed lungs and half-developed eyes, that kind of thing. What's the sort of best answer for that?
Well, the best answer to the claim that the fossil record is incomplete, first of all, it is incomplete, and secondly, these guys haven't bothered to go and find out how complete it is. I remember once, many years ago, having an argument with a creationist, who probably would now call himself an intelligent design merchant, about the big gaps, which there certainly were, in the fossil record, between the oldest common ancestor of humans and chimps, who lived about 6 million years ago. And in fact, between that and the chimps, there were a few fossils between that and humans, but none between that and the chimps. And I remember he came up to me and said, oh, there's this huge gap in the fossil record. And I said, well, yes, you're right, there is. But actually, you probably don't know this. Just a few weeks ago, a fossil was found in the middle of this gap. And he looked delighted. He said, well, that's even worse. There's two gaps now. So it's just a silly and empty argument. Of course there are gaps in the fossil record. If you go to the killing fields of the trenches in the First World War, first of all, you can't see the trenches, they've gone. If you dig up the graveyards where these people were buried, most of them, there's nothing left. The corpses have moulded away. Corpses have moulded away. Of course they have. They're not all preserved. Would you expect them to be preserved? But enough have been preserved to give an extraordinarily complete history of life all the way back to the origin of humans and long before.
Why do you think it's necessary to talk about it now? Why are you sort of doing this lecture?
Well, I've always not talked about it, actually. I don't agree that it's a debate. To call it a debate is, imagine the situation that mathematicians believe, as I understand they do, that 2 and 2 is 4, okay? Suddenly a radical new idea comes up. 2 and 2... because of something written in the Bible or in the Quran or anything like, 2 and 2 is actually 5. So all the mathematicians look in amazement at this claim. And, of course, the 2 and 2 and 5 people all get together and say, well, we want the debate. But there's no debate. What they want is a debate that comes up with a compromise. 2 and 2 is 4.1. Well, 2 and 2 isn't 4.1. 2 and 2 is 4. And evolution isn't a theory which is driven by intelligent design. It's driven by a blind mechanism, a blind watchmaker, to use Richard Dawkins' memorable phrase. And there is no room for compromise, I'm afraid. I'm not entering into debate with creationists or intelligent designers. I'm simply pointing out that their ideas are fundamentally stupid.
I mean, at the Hay Festival earlier this year, actually, you were quoted as saying that you didn't want to have any more truck with creationists because they keep misrepresenting you and so calling you a liar. I mean, is this a turnaround now? Do you think that now you want to engage with them?
Well, I'm not sure one can engage with them because, I always think trying. I mean, many of these people, I have to say, are perfectly personable and rather nice people. I have no quarrel with that statement. But trying to engage in argument with them is like trying to wrestle with a greased pig. I mean, you can come out with a completely convincing case that a particular system has evolved. I tend to use HIV, the AIDS virus, as the most wonderful example of evolution in action, which you can see all around you. It's impossible to deny that it's happened. You can see it. And they'll say, oh, we accept that, but... And then they've got something else, and you have another case about that. Oh, we accept that, say the gaps in the fossil record, but... And you can go on and on and on until you're blue in the face. And they know that you're wrong and that they're right. I don't know that I'm right. I'm willing to be proved wrong. They're not. That's the essential difference.
In the blurb, actually, for the lecture, you've got a really good example about the fact that you wear glasses. Can you sort of expand on that a little bit?
Well, I often think if there has been a designer... He wasn't a very intelligent designer. One of Darwin's... one of the classic arguments against evolution, which was used against Darwin. And Darwin was a man, just amazing intellectual prowess, God. But he has a little short section in The Origin, which is called On Organs of Extreme Perfection. And this was the old argument from intelligent design, which was the eye was so complicated that it would need a designer to do it. And what designers always said, what use is part of an eye? Well, what Darwin showed was part of an eye is a lot more use than no eye at all. But what I often think is, okay, if there's been a designer, but I would fire him, why do I need glasses, right? If my eye's been designed, why is it so unintelligent that I need to wear specs? On a broader sense, if there's an intelligence out there, why do I have a microscope there sitting over on my desk? Why doesn't my eye allow me to see bacteria? Why, if I was an astronomer, would I need a big telescope? Because the designer would know that we need to look at the stars. But, of course, it didn't happen like that. It happened by a series of successful mistakes over time to cope with the environment in which we then lived. We now live in a different environment. First of all, I'm alive rather than dead. Throughout most of human history, at my age, I would have been dead. I wouldn't have to worry about my eyes going with age. We didn't need to see bacteria. We didn't need to see stars. Now we have to design things that do it. We do the designing, but we evolved. We weren't designed ourselves.
When you talk to members of the public about this, how do they react to the sort of the ideas of intelligent design? Do you find that people who think there might be an intelligent designer out there or a god, or that, do they react quite violently against evolution, or are they willing to be persuaded?
Oh, I mean, they vary. I mean, the thing which I, in fact, I gave a talk yesterday to a bunch of people with a number of sixth formers in the audience, several of whom asked me the standard anti-evolutionary questions, one of which I never really understand, which is that evolution is all about the loss of information, and that life is getting can only get simpler rather than more complicated. I can't understand that argument at all. But I was asked many of these questions, and I tried to answer them, and these people were, I hope, to a degree persuaded. And if they're willing to enter into the possibility they might be wrong, as indeed I am, any scientist always is, then I'm happy to discuss it with them. But the great majority are not willing to enter into the possibility that they're wrong, and some do get rather angry, particularly neo-fundamentalists, Christians, neo-Christians, and in Britain in particular, people who are very keen on Islam. Which is odd, really, because Islam itself, the Quran itself, says very little, actually, about the nature of the origin of humans. It says something, a rather simple and beautiful story, that Allah got together the clay and moulded men and women. All right, it's much less explicit and complicated than the Adam and Eve story. But somehow, Islam, and I don't understand how, has taken on board the notion that somehow the belief in evolution is anti-Islamic. I can't understand that. They have nothing to do with each other. One's a science, one's a belief system, and they're not the same. The same with Christianity. In the end, I think these intelligent designers are doing far more harm to their own cause, which is, of course, religion of one flavour or another, than to my cause, which is science. And I console myself with that.
That was Steve Jones, a professor of genetics at University College London. And you were listening to the Guardian Science Podcast Extra. Remember, you can get daily updates of science news at guardian.co.uk/science and weekly podcasts every Monday. Guardian Unlimited.